It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. At one time or another, you'll see someone and say, that face is familiar, but I can't remember the name. For people with prosopagnosia, otherwise known as face blindness, the face isn't familiar. Actor Brad Pitt recently disclosed in an Esquire magazine interview that he has this condition. I'm joined now by Dr. Marlene Berman of Carnegie Mellon University. She's one of the leading researchers on this condition and joins us here in Studio A. Dr. Berman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our number, if you have a comment or question for our guest, 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. What questions do you have about face blindness? Do you or someone that you know, do you suffer from this condition? We'd like to hear from you. Share your stories with us at 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Dr. Berman, why do people have difficulty recognizing faces?
There are a number of possible reasons that somebody could have this kind of difficulty. We've known, for example, for a long time that in adults who had been normally functional, who then went on to suffer some kind of stroke or brain damage, such individuals might in fact lose their ability to recognize faces. This is what's commonly referred to as acquired prosopagnosia, because they had been normal and then something happened to alter their ability to recognize faces. So we'd known about that condition for a long time. And as I said, this results from some type of neurological alteration in the brain. But we've become more cognizant recently, probably in the last 10 years, of a similar condition in which individuals grow up without any kind of medical or neurological problems and nevertheless still fail to recognize faces, fail to master this seemingly simple process of face recognition. We've begun to refer to this condition as congenital face blindness or developmental face blindness, and it remains unclear why it is that people can't quite master this form of pattern recognition.
And in Brad Pitt's case, as far as we know, he hasn't had some sort of event or a stroke, something of that nature, to trigger this problem. How exactly does it manifest itself? For example, you and I just met a few minutes ago for the first time. So I'm looking at your face, and then are you saying that I would walk away from you if I had this condition and then a few minutes later see you and not have any idea who you are?
Absolutely true. You would fail to recognize me unless, for example, you were particularly attentive to my voice. So as soon as I started speaking, you might use
that. You do have a distinctive voice.
Right. But, you know, somebody else's voice might equally act as a very strong clue. Or other properties, unusual hairstyles, unusual moustache or earrings. So these individuals use whatever clues that they can, aside from the face, in order to be able to identify the individual.
What discoveries are you making to help treat people with this condition?
I'm not sure we're quite at the treatment stage yet, and that's going to be somewhat of an ongoing challenge for us. At the moment, we're still trying to get to grips with what causes this particular condition, what characterizes it, and what causes it. So we've been doing very many investigations, both to describe the condition and to have a very particular characterization, good tools for diagnosis, and also trying to understand what is different about the brains of individuals who are unable to recognize faces.
How did you get involved with this study?
A number of years ago, this is my field. I'm particularly interested in how the brain interprets the signals from the eyes, which in itself is a sort of really perplexing and interesting question.
Well, and let me jump in. Okay. A lot of people have never heard of this. And so I'm wondering when you became aware of it and what made you say, yep, this is the field I want to be looking into.
my first contact with this condition came about roughly a decade ago when one of my neurology colleagues referred an individual to me who was face blind. This is a person who'd had a stroke and had been premorbidly normal and somehow now woke up unable to recognize even his own family members, even himself in a photograph. And this just seems so compelling a condition because face recognition is so critical to our everyday function. And it's not hard to go from there to a series of questions about what is this condition? And moreover, what has gone wrong in the brain that suddenly robs you of this this native ability?
This sounds like something that would be related to Alzheimer's or some sort of dementia. Is it?
It's not in these particular cases. Now, it is true that individuals with degenerative neurological conditions like Alzheimer's may also begin to have some face recognition difficulties. But that's just one component of a whole slew of other cognitive problems. What's so intriguing about this condition is that these individuals have normal cognitive capacity in all other respects. And the problem seems to be so circumscribed and so specific. And some of the intrigue lies in the specificity of the condition.
We're talking with Dr. Marlene Berman of Carnegie Mellon University. She is one of the leading researchers on the condition known as face blindness. If you have a comment or question, would like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call, 412-246-2002. I mentioned at the outset that we tend to be better at remembering faces than names. I would have to admit to being one of those who's guilty of that. Are we better at recognizing faces than names? And does that somehow add maybe more of a stigma to this condition? Because for people with face blindness, it's the opposite.
I'm not actually sure that your primary assumption is correct. I'm not sure that we are better at recognizing faces than we are at remembering the names. People are quite happy to tell me that they are better at one of these two possibilities. So I think it is true that there is a range of skill in both face recognition, even in the normal population, and there is a range of memory for the names as well in the normal population. I should point out and stress that the individuals whom we're talking about with face blindness are really severely affected. It's not simply, you know, I just don't remember who you are, but I remember meeting you previously. These are individuals who don't recognize their own children. One of the sort of strong anecdotes or sort of compelling anecdotes that I heard from one of these individuals is that when he goes to pick up his child at the daycare center, if the child's clothing had been changed during the course of the day, he can no longer recognize which is his child and has to wait for the daughter to be brought to him by one of the carers. That's a pretty severe and profound impairment, way outside of anything that you or I probably experience.
And, you know, you hear about people in families who have a family member who is suffering from some sort of dementia or Alzheimer's and how it affects them. Mm-hmm. In a case like this, where you, like you just described, of somebody who has this severe form of face blindness to the point where he's not recognizing his own daughter, especially after there's been a change of clothes during the day. What is it like for the family members? What would it be like for a child to be dealing with a father who can't recognize who she is?
It's an interesting question. One of the things that we do know about this condition is that it actually runs in families. Not all
cases.
Is
it genetic?
There appears to be some genetic component. So again, I don't think that we have the full scientific understanding of the actual genetic component. But there are certainly families in which there are multiple individuals who are affected. And so it may seem fairly natural in those kinds of families that, you know, nobody seems to recognize other individuals, and that's just how life really is. In those cases in which perhaps just a single person is affected, the individual, him or herself, seems to be pretty adaptive and has all kinds of compensatory strategies, like attending to the clothing or trying to problem solve. I wonder who this could be. I'm in the grocery store. This person is this tall.
So these are coping mechanisms.
Right. And in fact, I think for the most part, these individuals are have very well-developed strategies and techniques for coping.
Have you ever heard of anybody being cured of this, alleviating the effects of this?
No. I have not heard of such a condition. Now, it is also true that I'm not sure that we're far along in our scientific understanding of this, that we have yet developed the optimal form of intervention. So I think the growing scientific understanding of this disorder is going to project us further along that path. And my guess is that in the near future, we may be able to try something interesting.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Larry, who is calling from the University of Pittsburgh. Larry, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Dr. Marlene Berman of CMU.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet. Go ahead with your comment or question, Larry.
Okay. The question is this a continuous variable, so to speak, or is it dichotomous? Does one have more or less of this? Can one have more or less of this illness? Or does one have it or not have it?
That's an excellent question. We've certainly seen individuals who are more severely affected than others. But again, I need to really stress that we're talking about a group of individuals who, as a population, are outside of the normal distribution. So let's assume that these individuals are all pretty severely affected. And then within that group, you could be more or less severely affected by face blindness.
Okay.
Larry, thank you. Thank you for the call. Is there a particular group of people? Is it something that affects men more than women, women more than men, Caucasian versus African American? What is the breakdown here?
To the extent that we have a complete understanding of the demographics of this condition, it seems to be pretty generic. There are no obvious subgroups. There have been one or two studies that have examined the incidence of face blindness in populations, either Caucasian or non-Caucasian populations, and there seems to be an equal incidence in those populations. It also seems to affect the sexes equally. Again, I really need to stress that it's pretty early on in our scientific understanding relative to some other neurological conditions that we understand much better. But to the extent that we've got a grip on this, I would say that it's nobody is immune from this.
Are we seeing more cases of this now in the 21st century than we have in the past?
We certainly are, but one possibility is that because of the media and, for example, interviews such as this one, people come to learn much more about it and then perhaps self-identify. So even, for example, in the last couple of days, as we've heard more about Brad Pitt and his self-identification, people have sent – I have received emails from many individuals saying they believe that they too suffer from this condition, and how do they definitively know one way or the other whether or not they have this, and are beginning to pursue opportunities for research and also for intervention.
We've been talking about the condition known as face blindness. Our guest has been Carnegie Mellon University researcher, Dr. Marlene Berman. Dr. Berman, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh, and please feel free to update us on your research as developments warrant.
Thanks very much. It was a pleasure.
Coming up, we will preview some of the big musical acts that are coming to the Three Rivers Arts Festival this weekend. Rosemary Welsh of our sister station WYEP joins us next. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.